Now, the story is clearly anachronistic, and for one obvious reason. That city of Yavne and its wise men did not exist yet. But people who told the story generations later knew that something happened that created, that assured continuity. And the whole story is really intended to answer the riddle. How could Judaism have survived? You'll notice, though, Yohanan's request. Give me Yavne and its wise men. Because this word, wise men, in Hebrew, chacham, sage, would become literally the basis and the foundation for a new type of leadership and for a new type of ritual Jewish behavior. A more symbolic legend describes the same Rabbi Yochanan and his disciple Joshua visiting Jerusalem after it had been destroyed. And Joshua sees the sanctuary devastated. And he says to his mentor, Yohanan, woe unto us that this sanctuary is devastated, the place where the sins of Israel are atoned for. The mentality here is clear. Joshua imagines a Jewish nation accruing sins throughout the calendar year. And it's sort of like a mass, an enormous weight weighing down the people. But Joshua knows that the Bible has already presented the people of Israel with a solution. A day in the calendar year is known as the Day of Atonement. When sins are atoned for as a result of a particular process of sacrificial worship and all sorts of other changing of behavior patterns, people obviously try to atone for sins that they committed not only towards God but towards fellow men. But the point is that Joshua imagined that it is only through temple worship that sins would be atoned for, and without the temple, these sins will pile up and pile up and pile up, and they will ultimately crush us, literally, or crush the Jewish psyche. And Yohanan hears this question or lament and replies with a fascinating statement. My son, be not grieved. We have another atonement as effective as this. And what is this atonement? Acts of loving kindness. As the prophet says, and he's quoting the prophet Hosea, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Yohanan was brilliant. He knew that when the prophet made that statement, the prophet did not claim that you don't need a temple. What the prophet was suggesting was that sacrifice without mercy, without the attendant acts of loving kindness between men, right? That sacrifice is not only meaningless, but it might even achieve the opposite. It's an abomination to God if you think that by burning an animal on an altar, you're achieving something, if that is not, right, accompanied by proper behavior among people. What Yohanan is saying is, he's sort of reinterpreting that prophetic statement to say, the prophets already suggest that acts of loving kindness can take the place of sacrifice. So it's a reinterpretation of a biblical statement. And the Mishnah, that book of that code of law produced by the rabbis, attributes to Yohanan ben Zakkai a number of ordinances. These were all intended not so much to get over the grieving and the theological implications of the destruction, but the practical implications, to establish alternative practices, to establish an alternative leadership. I can give you just one example out of many. Who would, and we will talk about this in a future lecture, who will proclaim the holidays? Who will organize the Jewish calendar? It used to be done at the temple. Yohanan will say it can now be done wherever there is a court of sages. Yohanan will move certain behaviors, certain practices, religious practices that once were only allowed in the temple, he will move them, as it were, to towns throughout the world and throughout the country. Again, a decentralizing process. These legends and traditions were probably put into literary form years, generations after the death of Yohanan ben Zakkai. But they testify to an awareness of a totally new system and context for the maintenance of Judaism as a vital religion, notwithstanding the destruction of all its previous historic frameworks. This revitalized Judaism of the post-temple period, which set the pattern of Jewish behavior for all subsequent generations, is what we refer to as Rabbinic Judaism. And here a few words are in order regarding the phrase rabbi. What does it mean? Well, the word itself means master, literally. But in the context of our discussion, it is really the designation of a sage, a teacher of Torah.